You remember in like the Iron Man or whatever she was in, her it was like red hair and it was like down to her like
waist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like she was Pentecostal. Welcome everyone.
Yeah.
Today is a very special episode. We promised last time we recorded. We will be reviewing the greatest crossover event in television history, not television, in cinematic history.
Since Kevin Durant went to the Warriors.
Since World War II. It was a bigger crossover than I had anticipated. I did not know that we would find out that the MCU was also part of the Lindelof universe, and that Infinity War was actually a prequel to HBO's The Leftovers. It was a great twist.
I'm more excited, I need to say though, for Avengers 2, or I guess Avengers 4, the Deathly Ring of the
Ooh.
Jedi.
Safe.
We will get into that. That is my one opinion I do have.
No, today we are doing a review episode of Avengers Infinity War, singular. I think the format we're going to do is we're going to open up and kind of give our grades, talk about the movie in kind of broad, vague terms, and then we will get into the spoiler section. Everybody agreed?
Yes.
All right, so
go ahead, Zach.
All right, we start with letter grades?
Yep.
Let's do it.
Letter grade. And just to clarify, I'm grading this against the Marvel curve, not as a film, because, listen, this is not a movie in the same sense as, like, movies as we know it. It's just there's too many, like, balls in the air that are being juggled to consider this a film. Or
anything. Like a proper movie. No,
right,
absolutely.
Right. Even as, you know, even compared to something like Winter Soldier or, you know, the first Iron Man movie, those are so.
Those are movies.
Right. They're singular. They're movies. This is.
This isn't a movie.
No.
This is more comparable to, like, one of those virtual reality theme park rides.
Yes. Yes, the Simpsons ride at Universal Studios.
Ride at Universal.
Okay, I give this. Okay, I give this an A. I've seen it twice now, and while I do have problems with it, and while I do think it's a step down from some of the more recent entries in the MCU, I'm just so impressed by what the Russos did. Like, they didn't, this could have ended so poorly, and the fact that it didn't, I commend them for that. And I just think that the idea of this is like one of the hardest jobs a director team or director singular could try to attempt, and I thought they did a good enough job. I give it an A.
I concur.
Really?
It's an A- for me. And again, it's not. Yeah, I can't just sit down and say objectively as a movie. And not that I think it's a. Obviously, I don't think it's a bad movie. But that's just not even the right. Like, it's not even possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, but for what it is in the. You know, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it is just so impressive that they pulled this off.
Yeah.
That they, and we'll get into a lot of this later, they treated the characters for them to have a large number, and for them to do as well as they did with that many characters, the emotional stakes were there. And I, who do not have many attachments, emotional attachment to this, I felt things. It made me feel some things. Liked it a lot.
All right, Colby.
Going with an A? Was that your score?
Yes. Wait, yeah. You went with an A?
Yes, I'll go with an A.
Okay.
It's about to be weird. I also give it an A.
What?
I really, really, really liked this movie. I was very surprised at how it beat my expectations because I didn't go in with very high expectations. I was actually thinking they were probably, as you'll hear in a previous episode, I was thinking it could be pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The trailers didn't blow me away or anything.
No.
No.
And, I mean, Thanos became a meme immediately. When we saw him without the helmet,
yep.
But we'll get more into him later.
Yeah, I have. What John David just said that this is not. There's not a lot of emotional investment for me in these movies. This movie brought some of that out. I was very impressed. Only one other of these of the Marvel movies has done that, and that's been Guardians 2.
Yeah,
and. Other than some nitpick things, it was a great take on putting all these superheroes in one movie and giving it to the world to enjoy.
Absolutely. Is this the best Avengers movie?
Oh, it's not even close to me.
Thank you. I agree. But by and large, the best one.
I mean, the first one is just full fan service.
Yeah,
and
good.
We talked about it in the last episode. It's completely incoherent, and even if you watch it now, like even the style, the look of the movie is kind of drab, just glib, as when you compare it to the poppy colors that they've really gotten into in the MCU over the last year and a half, well, really since Guardians 1.
Yeah,
and the second one, although I liked it at the time of its release. You know, the more
it does not hold up.
Yeah, time has not been kind to that movie.
I agree.
All right. So, what is our first topic of discussion? I'm almost mad that we're all going to be in agreement on this film.
Yeah, I know.
What's our first topic of discussion, Colby?
Well, let's first start off by saying we're getting into spoilers now. You should have seen this movie already. It's fine.
I mean, you have seen this movie already. It made...
If not, you don't listen to this. Duh.
It made over $500 million opening weekend worldwide.
I like how people are kind of like, I don't think it's going to make as much money as Black Panther. And we might have even said we didn't think it was going to make as much money as Black Panther. We were wrong, y'all. We were wrong.
Well, so I believe, if I remember right, we said it would make more opening weekend than Black Panther did.
We did.
But it may not make as much over the long haul.
Right.
Domestically.
That's what we said.
I think we were wrong.
I think we're probably wrong. We'll see. The thing is we got Deadpool 2 coming out soon. We've got Solo coming out. I mean...
That's right. Black Panther was in its own little dead zone where it just had time to make all the money it wanted because it had no competition.
Right. I think it's the third highest grossing movie in U.S. history right now. And this definitely, I mean, it's on pace to beat it. We'll see. But Black Panther came out in February and it's still in the top five of the box office.
Yeah, there is.
This weekend.
This doesn't have the draw to it either. To me, it doesn't. This is not one of those... your whole family's going to go see, even if they've never heard of it, where Black Panther, I feel like they would have. This one's, you kind of, this is for the people who've sat there for 10 years and watched these movies, and it's for them.
Yeah, because you didn't have to be a Marvel fan to go into Black Panther. You
could
go in with a clean slate because it's its own story. But with this one, if you've never seen any of these movies and you go in and, the movie opens... mid scene,
exactly where Thor Ragnarok leaves off.
It's like the
exact next second from where that movie leaves off. Mm-hmm.
It's mid scene, which I thought was ballsy choice.
Oh, yeah.
They call it media res. what did y'all think about them killing off Loki so early?
I thought it was the right. Spoiler territory. It's not here. We had it.
Yeah.
I thought it was the right decision.
I don't
character from the MCU.
Really?
But they needed to give us a death quickly to let us know, like, guys, this is what we're doing.
Right.
This is the movie we're making. And frankly, that character has run his arc, because he's been the villain in four Marvel movies now.
Mm.
So we've seen his full. Is he going to be good? Is he going to be bad? Is he going to be good? There's nothing more to do with him.
Right.
So he served his purpose. He can never join and be a full Avenger. That would be terrible. And Tom Hiddleston is kind of like a famous, like, real actor now. Like, he probably wants to, like...
Is he, though?
Kong Skull Island.
No. Okay. I mean, he's not necessarily making huge movies.
Yeah.
But he's probably, like... There's, like, another production of Hamlet I'm supposed to be in right now.
Yeah.
Like, I have, like, 8 Shakespeare plays this summer or something. So, I have to go do those in London. Goodbye. So, I thought it was the right move. And as much as I love Loki, I wasn't even sad. I was like, good job. You did the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, I did not expect to lose him and Heimdall, Idris Elba's character, immediately. But I guess you're right. I just kind of hate it that we finally... I mean, Loki's been good in all the movies, but I thought they really struck a nice tone with him in Ragnarok.
Agreed.
And to go immediately from, like, the peak of Loki to he's dead is...
Yeah.
Jarring.
But I think that was them kind of setting the stage for just, I mean, that they needed to open with a bold move, and they did.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, you won't convince me he's actually gone completely until the end of this next movie.
Yeah.
But they were definitely setting the tone, and that's one of those things I really loved about this movie is Thanos is a force.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... And the fact that they're willing to, like, strangle a character on screen.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa!
Yeah, that was dark.
Yeah, this is, like, the most dark... Like, this is the closest to an R rating as the MCU has ever gotten and probably ever will get.
Yeah.
Like, there's more language in this movie than there is in normal Marvel movies.
And there is still... I mean, there is still... It's a very solid PG-13. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't really approach our territory.
Yeah.
But it is on the more violent side of PG-13, I think.
Yeah. Let's see. What do we want to talk about? I mean, so we just talked about the opening. We want to just... go ahead.
Let's jump into what were some of, like, our favorite parts of this.
Okay.
Rocket Raccoon and Thor.
Yeah, okay, so why don't we go ahead and talk about our favorite, like, grouping or pairing.
Okay.
Okay.
Colby, go ahead, Colby. This. Yeah. Talk it out, Colby.
Favorite pairing. It's actually pretty close. I really loved Rocket Raccoon and Thor and Teenage Groot. I thought they were... Just think about Vin Diesel making all that money.
The acorn's on you, kid. that was so good.
I'm gonna throw this out there. I don't believe at this point it's still Vin Diesel doing it anymore. I just think that they're like, yeah, it's Vin Diesel, sure. Because they don't want to say it's not.
Well, he's getting them checks.
There's no possible reason for him to be doing this.
There really isn't.
No sense.
They call him in the middle of a scene in Fast and Furious 9 or whatever, and he just says it. I am Groot. I love that one. I really, really loved Tony Stark and Doctor Strange.
It was great. Yeah.
I mean, you take the two snarkiest characters, other than, I'd say, Chris Pratt's there. He doesn't get enough, but they're...
It's kind of the same character.
Well, yeah. Like, all three of them are variations on the same. Like, all three of them have so many shades of Tony Stark that it's just...
Right.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, and so Tony was kind of... He doesn't stand out in this movie as much as he has in the other ones because everybody's quippy, snarky now.
Mm-hmm.
So his snark isn't as noticeable. But I'll save Raccoon and Thor for later. But yeah, to me, the Strange, Peter Parker, Tony Stark, I love the three of them together.
Yeah.
I thought the goatee off between Cumberbatch and Downey was just great.
No Sherlock jokes, though.
I know. Why did it? Yeah.
It was asking for it.
It really was.
Two on the nose?
I think I liked... I mean, all of them were pretty solid. I very much enjoyed the initial interaction between Thor and Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a blind man doofus off.
Yeah, it was... you know, there's the Chris Wars, which is where people debate on which Chris is the best. I thought that was like a kind of meta commentary on that thing.
I thought so too.
It was good.
Yeah. It was both of them leaning so well into what they do well, because it took a while, but they really have figured out what to do with Chris Hemsworth in these movies.
It's unbelievable. Like,
you go from just a big old lug that sucked up all the charisma in the room and just into a black hole initially, of like, he walks on screen and kind of everything that was possibly interesting or engaging just goes away, into the past few movies, and you realize, like, oh, he wasn't actually the problem. It was the movies.
Yeah.
Because he's really good.
He's so good at the comedic aspects of this.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
I really
obviously.
Yeah, he was just as good. I will say about Hemsworth, this movie, I wouldn't call him a complex character like I would call other complex characters in movies.
Right.
It's a little more dumbed down, but like, they give him some complexity. I actually really thought he had some of the best emotional moments in this movie, where basically he's like ready to die. He's like taking this as a suicide mission. And I was enjoying that. And that little thing he has with Rocket Raccoon, and they talk, pretty good.
So dead brother, huh?
Yeah.
That can be annoying. I saw somebody tweeted this, but like, I agree. I really would love a Thor, Rocket Raccoon, and Groot movie. Mm-hmm. Just give it to me now.
Yeah. Well, especially, and again, spoilers, whatever. I assuming things stay as they are with Gamora, and sweet goodness, I hope they do. Please don't bring her back. Nothing against her or Zoe Saldana. It's just going to take away the emotional space. But assuming they do, like, I don't see how there's another Guardians of the Galaxy without her.
Well, I mean, they are doing Guardians 3. It comes out in 2020, which is...
Is she on the cast list?
I don't know. I see...
I don't want to find out.
Yeah.
That's going to be a spoiler.
We'll find out next summer.
Exactly.
Well, see,
that's what I'm saying. It's going to be a spoiler for that movie. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into predictions, but she's coming back.
You think so?
Yeah. And we'll get, I got a lot to say.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Let's just get into as far as just stuff we really liked. The villains, obviously Thanos, and we'll get into that. But even like his little henchmen, I thought they were good.
Two of them were great.
Yeah.
They could have done even more if they would have just taken... I think there were four of them all together. Mm-hmm. Take the other two off that weren't. They were just kind of, one was a big guy who was bigger than the Hulk.
Yeah.
And then the other one, I don't even remember what they were. But the woman one that fought Black Widow at the end. And the one they called, what did they call him?
The one with Doctor Strange?
Yeah, they made a joke about him. The Squidward.
Yeah, Squidward.
Squidward joke.
Squidward.
I love that character. I like
him. He was really good.
I wanted more of him. He was awesome.
Yeah, I thought they were really good. And so often, and again, I've not seen Justice League. I've heard it's fine.
Yeah.
But they, or I think a better, well, that's not quite fair. Because I thought the villains in Man of Steel were good, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that's not even a good comparison. But, like, I you see that type of thing, and you're like, okay, it'll just be like the Rando henchmen. But no, like, they were, I mean, I'm not going to say they were interesting or complicated, but they were good. They were just enjoyable to watch. And they were kind of scary.
Right.
It's always fun to watch or see villains that are formidable.
Yes.
And not a ripoff of the thing that you're the hero, like, say, an Iron Man 1 villain. I can't remember his name.
Jebediah.
And Killmonger is kind of the same way. It's like just dark Black Panther. Mm-hmm. Like, I like villains who are... And you're watching this, the one against Doctor Strange, that whole first battle scene. Like, okay. I don't know how they're going to beat him right now.
And then when Doctor Strange is captured and he's putting weird glass shards into him, like, you expect it to just be a thing where they're there. No, like, you see several people get tortured in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Nebula scene was pretty intense.
Yeah. That was a weird scene.
It was weird. There are so many characters in this movie that were, like, brought in for, I don't know, to shoot 5 minutes and then completely taken out of the movie. Nebula being one of them. Which you don't need her a lot, but it's the story's a little closer to her. You could have probably used her a bit more.
I mean, she is a daughter of Thanos. Right.
And that's why Gamora was such a huge part in this movie. Right.
Which, is she a daughter, like... Before she turned, she was one of, like, the four henchmen or whatever. Wasn't she? Wasn't she, like, one of Thanos'...
Is she, like, an actual... She looks like Ronan.
Yeah.
Like, they might be of the same race.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's an actual daughter or not.
Well, no, I mean, she's not, but... I mean, I don't think Thanos actually has kids. Gamora wasn't his biological daughter, but he raised her.
No, he doesn't have any kids because there are no more Titans. He's the last one, right? Right.
Oh, that's right.
Can we just go ahead and get into Thanos?
Let's get into Thanos.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Josh, okay,
let me start with a question. Thanos, good villain, or Josh Brolin, good actor?
Both.
I agree.
Both. First off, this movie's not as aimless as it seems to be. This is Thanos' origin story. Not origin story. This is his movie.
He's
the character.
I mean, he's the one who kind of goes on what we know as the hero's journey of this movie.
Yeah, you flip the sides of it.
Right.
And what he sees is right. He's going through all of his stuff. He's getting his tasks done. And he gets to his...
He's the one who feels like loss. He has to make sacrifice to get to his end goal.
And he's probably in this movie more than anybody else.
Oh, yeah. He has more screen time than any other character. I would almost bet money on it.
Yeah.
I did not anticipate that. I don't know what I expected, but the only other time we've seen Thanos, he was like sitting in a throne, on a moon somewhere. And I don't think he even spoke. I was expecting more like when Ultron was the villain and we had like 10 minutes total of screen time.
Yeah.
The rest of it was them scrambling around. That's not what this was at all.
Hmm.
Which was refreshing.
It was really refreshing. I loved the way they portrayed his story through it. Because it gave us something to latch on to kind of keep the thread going through all of this, rather than jumping back and forth, and it does that. But Thanos is how we know where we're at in the story, in this movie. And
Thanos is this all-powerful god. And to say that they... gave him some humanity is maybe a little off base, but they did ground him in a way that I didn't think was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And like they kind of established pretty early that he was mortal.
He can die.
Yeah.
Well, now he can't, though. I'm assuming he will. But
yeah,
he can. I think the thing, and the Russo brothers are good at this in general, they do a good job of making a somewhat more philosophical, political themed superhero movie. Even with ways that have with varying success, that's still like a mission for them. I mean, we definitely saw that with the villain in Civil War.
Right.
Really, the theme of that movie is, what are we doing, and is it good or bad? And we are, we have this power, but does that give us the right just to use it as we see fit, or do we hold ourselves responsible to the people? It's a lot of interesting ideas being thrown around that movie, and also interestingly, it doesn't really come down on one side or the other. Like, you don't get a clear thing of who's right or who's wrong at the end of this. It just sort of is. And then with this movie, it is very much the, you know, the idea that in his own mind, Hitler was the hero of his story.
Right. That's what.
And you get
Hitler bomb.
And it goes with that with Thanos.
Yeah, that, I was going to say, what makes Thanos a really good villain is the fact that he does not believe he is a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This isn't like a.
This isn't this isn't Lord of the Rings, where like they're evil for the sake of being evil,
right? Or like Voldemort, where it's like, you know, I love it in, you know, so many things. Like, I am evil because I wear all black and I'm surrounded by fire, and
yeah,
that's how you know that I am evil. And this isn't, you know, this isn't even that exactly. He's a villain who talks and has a personality.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, whenever the directors and writers give depth to characters, it turns out better?
I mean...
That's a bold statement.
Yeah. Hot take.
Here's the deal. He's no matter what, he's never going to be Megatron. And he can't help that.
Overall in this movie, other than the fact that they handled all of the scenes, all of the splitting of the characters so well, even though it was a little long and a little jarring at times when they transitioned back, Thanos is the best part of this movie. And
yeah,
seeing a villain that's good interact with the people we know, pretty much playing these characters at the top of their game, barring a few
of them. Well, the other thing it made me think of, though, when I was looking at these actors, is they really have gotten a bunch of incredible actors to play these superheroes.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, I mean, Robert Downey Jr., and some of them are known for this now more than anything else, like Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
But we, like, you have Scarlett Johansson. Elizabeth Olsen is an incredible actress.
Mm-hmm.
Paul
Bettany.
When Scarlett Johansson showed up as Black Widow in this movie, I legitimately did not know who she was. I was like, the crowd reacted, and I was looking, and I'm like, okay, who was that? I don't. Okay.
Yeah, my nephew leaned over to me, and he was like, "What happened to her hair?" I don't know, buddy.
The Black Widow got her.
Which she has a different hairstyle in like every movie, but it's.
Ooh, yeah.
You remember in like the Iron Man or whatever she was in, her, it was like red hair and it was like down to her like
waist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like she was Pentecostal.
Well, that little known fact about Black Widow. Pentecostal. UP, in fact.
Yeah.
You can tell by the outfit.
can we talk about how long this movie was?
Well,
it was very long.
Longer than a typical boat podcast episode, if
barely.
That tells you anything.
So, Colby and I were seated maybe 45 minutes before the movie started, and then there were 30 minutes of previews, and then 2 hours and 40 minutes later, we left the theater. Listen, Marvel, I've got sciatica problems.
We need intermissions.
We got to have a treadmill or something in that place, or one of those exercise bikes.
Why have they not made that yet? Like a walking movie theater.
I would pay so much money to go to a walking movie theater.
That actually is a really good idea. I did the opposite of that. I went to Studio Movie Grill, so I literally ate a full meal while I watched the movie.
Oh, God. Yeah, Ruffalo.
You have multiple Oscar nominees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, multiple.
Is Cumberbatch going... Is Doctor Strange going to replace the Hulk in the MCU? And by that I mean, we'll never get another Doctor Strange movie, but he'll be, like, one of the integral parts of every Avengers movie going forward, and even make cameos in other movies?
I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what they do with Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, I don't either. Because, I mean, he has to guard the New York Sanctum. So,
right.
You know.
I mean, I'd watch it.
Oh, me too.
Because he's great. He was actually, I thought he was one of the best parts of this movie. Mm-hmm. A friend told me he thought he was the best part of the movie.
Wow. Well,
he was really good.
I mean, the character of Doctor Strange is like the most important on the really Avengers side.
Yeah.
Let's get into this. What I did not expect was for this to be Guardians 3 Ragnarok. Like,
yes.
The Earth, the original, the OG Avengers have no bearing on the plot of this movie other than Tony.
Very little.
Right. I mean, Cap has like 5 minutes of screen time.
I cannot remember a line he said in the movie.
Yeah.
No, and let's be clear about the stuff with Cap. None of them needed to be in it because mm-hmm. Wakanda, like, can handle it.
Yeah.
Like, they were fine, you know?
Obviously, they were not.
Well, I also...
I don't know the difference. The four white people who came to Wakanda made a big scheme of things.
Where was Martin Freeman?
That Wakanda couldn't have done themselves.
So, I also didn't expect for Chadwick Boseman to be... you know, have as little screen time as he did. I mean, he had as much screen time as everyone else in Wakanda. Like, he's on screen as much as his sister.
Yeah.
They kind of missed the mark there. I don't know that they realized the hit they were going to have on their hands with Black Panther.
Oh, no, there's no way. Except they might have been thinking, like, Black Panther's probably just going to be, like, kind of whatever. And they were sorely mistaken.
Yeah. Well, I mean... the Wakanda parts of this movie were my least favorite parts, and I thought they were going to be the coolest parts going into it. But until Thor and Groot and Rocket get there, it doesn't even matter what's happening.
No, well, it's the part of the movie that's like generic battle scenes.
Yeah, because the battle scene on Titan, which to me
is cool,
I think it's probably the best like battle sequence in all of the MCU. Whenever they're trying to take the glove off of Thanos. Yeah. That was just...
I think I can maybe get behind that.
It was so cool, and the Russo brothers made a good decision to keep it like stationary. Like Thanos kind of stands in one spot for almost that entire fight. Unlike the Hulkbuster scene from Ultron where there's $2 billion worth of building damage and mm-hmm. I don't know where to look at on the screen because everything's collapsing and everything's all over the place.
Yep.
But... I love the fight scene on Titan, so yeah, that's probably why going from there to Wakanda was like a dip down.
I would agree. Well, and it's like, we just saw Black Panther, which is just such a cool movie.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, this isn't as good as Black Panther. I mean, I'm not seeing the movie, I'm not sure yet on my feelings of that, but that part of the movie, I just can't really compare to how good Black Panther was.
Yeah.
So what did we maybe not like in this movie? Let's get into our nitpicks.
Nitpicking. the first thing that came to my mind was, and this is it's just an excuse to get them in the movie, but I didn't care for Scarlet Witch and Vision's romance.
At all. I could not care less. You can't force that and like have that try to be the emotional backbone of the the Avengers portion of this movie.
What we needed is a full Scarlet Witch Vision solo movie.
No, we didn't need that either.
I was joking. furthermore, I didn't think that the two most powerful Avengers needed Captain America, Black Widow, and Falcon to save
them. Thank you. Now, okay.
So dumb.
I try, because the worst type of person on Earth is the person who's like, Thanos has all that power, then why is he still touching people? This is a superhero movie. Shut up.
You're doing a voice, John David.
Shut up.
Because it's a movie.
Yeah, like, this is all ridiculous. No rules of anything apply to this. Calm down. But I do agree that it's a little insane that these two characters, and it's kind of always been this way, that they're the two most powerful characters outside of like maybe Thor, maybe when he's in full God of Thunder mode.
Yeah.
But they never like do a lot of contributing normally.
No, she Scarlet Witch can destroy an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
And that's what she does in this movie.
I mean, she basically has the power of an Infinity Stone. That's how she got her powers.
Yeah, she should be a far more complicated character than she is, and a far more interesting... Like, they should go full Dark Phoenix with her.
Yeah.
And they have an
bring in Magneto?
Obviously could support it.
Yeah, but I think Elizabeth Olsen is, like, done. I don't think she wants to be in these movies anymore.
No. Yeah. She found out she can be in good movies.
Yeah.
I mean, better movies.
Her friend Jeremy ran her out of this one, so she couldn't even hang out with him the whole time.
he was busy fixing up a bungalow.
You know, they were like, Jeremy, we're doing another adventure. And he was like, no, I'm old. Shut up.
Move that bus. There. I was editing the last episode, and there was this whole point where, like, we were talking about how Hawkeye's going to die in this movie and how he's going to be one of the biggest deaths.
I thought he'll be in the next one,
yeah.
Clearly. Yeah.
For sure.
I don't know. They might be... Jeremy Renner, after he saw this movie, he's like, wait, so y'all can just say I disappeared? I'm one of them. I got raptured, okay?
Well, it's just a cut scene to to him and Linda Cardellini on their little farmhouse, and then that's all we needed.
That's all we got.
He's the one that makes it out.
Yeah, I think he'll be. He'll join up when Ant-Man and Captain Marvel and the Wasp come to help at the start of the next one. I mean, what sucks about it is, like, I know what's going to happen. We know pretty much, we may not know the exact beats, but in general, we know what's going to happen in this next movie.
Uh-huh.
Can we kind of get there? Because I think, well, let me quickly say, I have one quick beef.
Okay.
I didn't need Thor to have to take on the power of a sun.
Oh, yeah. A dying star?
Stop.
I kind of like that, though.
There's enough stuff going on in this movie. Don't try to make me, like, care about this moment.
Yeah,
it just would have been fine. Like, have them there with Giant Peter Dinklage. That whole scene was cool. I just didn't need that. It was just thrown there for.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I'm not going to complain about it. I never thought he was in any danger restarting the dying star.
Saying.
But
I
anytime we get Thor and Rocket, you know, exchanges, I'm in. So,
Rabbit. The only other gripes I have are they did a really good job with the CGI on Thanos, other than when he's picking up a human character, and then it looks pretty bad. Because there's one scene where he picks up Tony Stark, and it's like the only real thing in that shot is Robert Downey Jr.'s head.
Yeah,
and it looks pretty bad. But other than that, they did a really good job with some of the CGI in this movie, especially with his motion capture. I feel like there was another thing I had, and I'm slipping on it.
Well, what about you, Zach? Did you have any gripes?
Well, I mean, my biggest nitpick was definitely the, like, forced feelings I was supposed to have for Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Because I'm not willing to, like, I'm not going to let half of every person in the universe die to protect Vision. No. You're dead, dog.
No.
Like, we send it, I'll wash my hands of you, but you gone.
He's a robot.
I will say, a death that I didn't think would be as impactful as it was Gamora's. Because that's not a character we just know super well.
Right.
It's not like she's... I think Zoe Saldana does a really good job, but, you know, we just haven't, like, the story's never focused on her, really.
True, that's true, but I will say that the characters from the Guardians movies are so much more fully formed and fleshed out than, and it's so obvious when you're comparing it to somebody like Falcon or Rhodey.
Oh, gosh. What is Don Cheadle's name? I literally don't know his name, his superhero's name.
War Machine.
It's War Machine, and he's Colonel James Rhodes.
James Rhodes.
I didn't know any of that until right now.
But we care so much more about Drax than we do either of them.
Than Falcon.
Right. And I like Anthony Mackie. But
it's better than 8 Mile. I just can't. Like, they're fighting in Wakanda, and there's all these creatures, and like Falcon is over shooting missiles at them, and I'm like, what are you doing? Get Scarlet Witch to come out here and just annihilate everything. Right.
Yeah.
I was with, I don't remember her name, but the like warrior woman from Wakanda, where she was like, why? Why did you keep her inside?
Yeah, why was she inside?
As the audience, I was also asking that question.
Well, alright, talking about nitpicks, we had Black Widow and that woman who, dang it, I can't remember her name right now either.
I have no idea what her name is.
But they have a fight scene against one of Thanos' four horsemen.
Yep.
And we cut away and miss like almost the entire thing. Like, you get the two, maybe the two best hand-to-hand combat people in the MCU. Give me a good fight, like a 2-minute fight scene.
And yet also in all of that, Scarlet Witch is like on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Just laying there.
With her crazy magic infinity powers.
Yeah.
And she's just drawing little dirt circles.
Yeah.
So I think
my biggest complaint is also my biggest like thing I loved about this movie.
The runtime.
The story, which is how it sets up for the next movie, and like you were just saying that, I feel like I have to know at least a little bit what's going to happen in the next movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie where everything goes wrong is so much more interesting than the movie where everything goes right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they make the next one as good as this one.
Well, I don't think it will be, simply because of the pieces that we have left on the board currently. I'm much less interested in the characters who are left.
It's true.
I mean, apart from, I've said their names a million times, but Rocket and Thor, like, I do not care about Captain America anymore. I'm over it.
Tony Stark, I don't care about him.
It's just played out. I mean, I'll ride for Tony, but... You know, do I need another MCU movie with him in it? No, not really.
Well, now here's the interesting thing though about Tony is he's the only person left on Titan.
No. Nebula is also there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So that's
some form of, you know, but I'm interested in the idea of the two of them being stranded, and maybe if they have to do some kind of deal, like, maybe that could be interesting.
So here's my thinking. Tony, so Thor's new axe has the power that Heimdall had to, like, travel through the Rainbow Bridge.
Rainbow Road his way.
Right.
To wherever.
So
he can read Rainbow his way anywhere he wants.
Right. So my thing is, I think Thor is going to go and get Tony and Nebula, come back to Earth, everybody teams up, Nebula will be able to take them to where Thanos is currently. I think they all go there, and this is in the first half of the movie. They are able to remove the gauntlet from his hand, but they're not able to completely, like, he gets away. I think Cap puts on the gauntlet, turns back time, brings everybody back, but in doing so, it kills him. And then the last half of the movie is, like, everybody's back except for Cap, and...
I mean, like...
Because I really, really, out of everybody...
If I read that description, I'd be like, yeah, that seems right.
Yeah. Out of everybody associated with the MCU, I just feel like Chris Evans is the one who's just like, I want to go be in plays on Broadway. I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, I mean, he said he's not doing these anymore. Yeah, the next one is his last one. I feel like Robert Downey Jr. surely has to be the same way. I feel like Robert Downey Jr., though, besides this, he doesn't make movies anymore, right?
Well...
What's the last thing that he did?
The Judge.
I think it was The Judge.
I think what they're going to do...
Well, he's got the Dr. Dolittle movie coming.
Oh, God.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Sherlock 3, too.
And the Sherlock.
Oh, he does have a Sherlock
3. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
What?
He's doing Dr. Dolittle?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You didn't know this? Oh, and he also has a, this has been in the works for years. Like, his dream project is a live-action Pinocchio.
Yeah, I remember that.
where he plays Geppetto.
Okay.
Andy Serkis.
He is like, he and Hugh Jackman have some similarities.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I don't think they're going to kill Tony, and mm-hmm. one of the reasons is, like, he talked in the beginning of the movie to Pepper about how he had a dream where she was pregnant. Pretty sure she's pregnant. So
what?
So
I'm shocked.
I don't think they're gonna. Sure, I think he's going to retire as an Avenger, and maybe every five Marvel movies he comes back for 5 minutes of screen time.
Exactly what I was thinking.
So when Stan Lee dies,
right.
Robert Downey Jr. takes over his cameo appearance.
I mean, he was in like 10 minutes of Spider-Man Homecoming, and 90% of that was on a just green screen, like just yeah. his face. So
that's it. That's him in this movie too.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, for most of it, he's in the suit and it's just his head.
Now, what I don't know is how Captain Marvel figures into this, and also how Ant-Man. So we got Ant-Man and Wasp coming this summer.
Ant-Man's going to be, he's going to shrink down to size, and he's going to try to pull one of those stones off, like in the middle of a fight scene.
Yeah.
And then in the end, he's going to blow up as big as Thanos. And fight. That's going to happen.
That sounds right.
And so I think that...
Well, so Captain Marvel, who I don't know much about as a superhero.
She's a cosmic, like, she's one of the cosmic heroes.
And Nick Fury has her on his pager.
On his pager. Now, the Captain Marvel yeah. movie that comes out next...
She's from the 90s.
Yeah, well, the movie that comes out next February is set in the 90s, but she can travel through space and time and other dimensions. So, the theory out there is that she is currently in the quantum realm, which is where
sure.
Michael Douglas lost his wife in the first Ant-Man uh-huh. movie. And that's what Ant-Man and Wasp is going to be about, is them traveling to the quantum realm. They'll bring back
pop up in Ant-Man.
They'll bring back Michelle Pfeiffer, and they'll find Captain Marvel there, bring her back. The movie ends with them coming back as the New York attack is happening. Or they'll come back as the, you know, the rapture is taking place there yeah. at the end of the
That's
movie.
What I'm thinking, because I think that's more of a, how do we get to Thanos?
Yeah.
Is using her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's going to be like maybe the most important person there is to defeating Thanos, but we don't really know anything about
it. So many important people.
Interestingly enough, I believe Brie Larson is the first Oscar winner because he's an Avenger.
Ruffalo?
Ruffalo's never won an Oscar.
Never won.
That's my second heartbreak of the night.
Did Samuel L. ever win one? Well, he's not technically an Avenger either. So. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, I think you're right.
Because Downey's been nominated but never won.
Yep. Cumberbatch has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nominated but never won. Lots of nominees.
Yeah.
I don't remember if ScarJo's been nominated or not.
I think she was for...
Lost in Translation?
Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
Seems right. No idea, really. But, so, yeah. I mean, I'm excited for...
Tommy Lee Jones?
Obviously.
Right.
I want to see it. I'm curious to see how this resolves. But, just the ending of this one...
The balls it takes.
It was so good.
I know.
It
because
was so good.
There was no, like... There was
he
no
Spider-Man. I mean, yeah. He's coming back. It was a emotional little scene.
Yeah, it was weighty. But as soon as Spider-Man died, I just called bullcrap, because Marvel doesn't own, like, Disney doesn't own the rights to Spider-Man, so Kevin Feige can't make the decision to kill off Spider-Man.
Well, obvious. I mean, well, when they killed off Black Panther, I was like,
yeah, not happening.
I never for a second believed.
$4 off of Black Panther.
Although, how funny would that be?
I would be so happy. Oh my god, I'd be so happy. If they think they're going to bring everybody back, nope, they're all just gone.
Well, you know,
you're stuck with Chris Evans for the next 30 years.
Are,
oh, I would laugh so hard. There
are theories out there that we're fixing to be working on multiple timelines here, kind of the Days of Future Past scenario.
Don't do it. Too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. So here is where I feel most passionate about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs to die in the next one? I have a list.
Go ahead.
All right.
goes, Reggie.
Jay-Z.
Tupac. Go ahead.
So, people who need to die, to just get them out. Just get them gone.
Mm-hmm.
He won't, but Bucky, because I don't care, and I don't think anybody else does either.
Well,
I know they're not going to, because I'm pretty sure he's going to be the new Captain America.
He, listen, Sebastian Stan has a 9-picture deal with Marvel.
Shut up.
Yeah.
But that character?
Yeah, well, he becomes Captain America. Bucky does in the comics.
So your very first one is wrong. I find it very funny.
I was wrong, but I wanted to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, because there's nobody who cares more about Bucky than Captain America, and there's nobody who cares less about Bucky than me. and his Black Panther arm that he didn't get to use at all?
So, Scarlet Witch. Let her, because I don't want Vision to come back. I need that death to stay.
Yeah.
And I want her to just go join him in the great beyond. Because again,
well, if,
and without him, she's really not interested.
I think, though, if they ever do like that weird thing where they buy Fox and want to do a X-Men introduction, that's a way to do it.
Shoot me in the face. Okay. let's see. I'm a fan of Tony Stark dying because here's my reason. Old Gwyneth Paltrow has not actually had a reason to do any form of legitimate acting job since none of us can remember when. And we could give her a chance to say, guys, I am a good actress. I'm going to be very sad because Tony's dead. And she would get to show emotion on camera, and that would be good for her.
Okay.
So, for the sake of her acting career, not that I'm invested in her acting career, but like...
I'm invested in her cookbooks.
Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow, Oscar winner. Technically not an Avenger, but an Oscar winner.
I will say, on the note of Tony Stark... When he gets stabbed by Thanos, I'm like, I don't want Tony to die. I remember feeling that way. I'm like, oh, it pulled some emotion out of me. No, I definitely, I wanted Cap gone. Like, just give him his moment and end him.
Because everyone thought they were going to kill Cap.
Yeah, I'm over Cap as a character. He's the most boring person.
Well, there. After Civil War, I am too. Okay, those three, I can't remember if I had another.
T'Challa.
I have one big one.
Because
you need one. Because we all know they're going to kill off Captain America. I agree that they're probably not going to kill off Tony Stark. So you need another one that is just one we're not expecting that is going to punch us in the gut. And I believe that person is the Hulk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because
go ahead.
They're not going to make a standalone Hulk movie.
Mm-mm.
They're not going to do it. So kill him.
Let Ruffalo, like, I don't want him wasting time making these movies.
No.
He has better things to do.
So much better
things. Spotlight 2.
The Vatican.
The Vatican things. So, you talked about not, you just already kind of being tired of the Fox-Disney merger, everything that may bring. Rumor is that Galactus will be the next, giant event crossover.
No,
big
no, don't
bad.
Don't do it. Don't do it because you can't make a good Silver or Fantastic Four movie.
Listen, if anybody can make a passable Fantastic Four or Silver Surfer movie, it's going to be Disney and Kevin Feige.
They're not interesting.
And they're wasting.
Silver Surfer is the least interesting comic book character ever. Like he's like the most powerful, but he just wants to like ride on his surfboard and listen to the Smiths.
And I think like the Silver Surfer was a product of the 60s.
Yeah.
And it's so lame.
A lot of acid.
Well, the other thing is
a silver guy who rides a surfboard.
To me, all of these galactic ones. Guardians of the Galaxy is different because none of them actually have real super powers.
Right.
Mostly good at fighting. Except kind of Chris Pratt, but then obviously not. I was like, when are we going to bring up the fact that Chris Pratt is literally like half
God?
Yeah.
That's what they didn't do in this movie, and they won't do it because he's technically dead in the next movie, because I really thought like, oh, when he found out he Thanos killed Gamora. He's me like, too. We're about to get Super Saiyan Planet God Chris Pratt. I really thought that was what we were going
to
get.
And I was looking forward to it, and then it didn't happen.
I was, and I wasn't, because what makes the Guardians movies cool to me uh-huh. is that they're ridiculous, and they're kind of grounded as when it comes to superpowers. They're just misfits.
Yeah, I argue that it's not a technical superhero movie. Because yeah. they're not superheroes.
Agreed.
I'm going to be honest, I don't remember exactly what I was saying now.
You want Mantis to die. That was what you were getting.
I like Mantis. She amuses me.
Can we kill Falcon? We're not going to.
I don't know.
Well, no, because I think Falcon's going to be... I mean, again, many people have said there's going to be, like, a new Avengers.
Yeah.
Where most of the originals have retired. And so that's why I think they're probably not going to kill Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Unless Elizabeth Olsen... Well, Elizabeth Olsen might have that in her contract that she wants to be out of
Wind
this.
River 2.
Well, I mean... Falcon is... not Falcon. Anthony Mackie. He's not doing anything else.
No. Nah. No, and he's the like the type of person who would want to keep doing this.
Yeah.
That's fine.
30 years, he's like at one of these like Pensacon signing autographs and nobody's coming up to his booth.
Did y'all see the video on the internet today?
The one you could see.
This is apropos of nothing, but did y'all see the video on the internet today of an interview that Ruffalo gave last year?
Yeah.
Where he spoiled Infinity War and nope, everybody thought it was a joke.
I saw that video existed. I didn't watch it.
You need to watch it. It's pretty funny because they're talking about...
literally the ending.
Well, they're talking about him, it's him and Don Cheadle being interviewed, and they're talking about Ragnarok, and they're asking him if anybody dies in Ragnarok, and he's like, well, it's a Marvel movie, so, you know, stuff happens, you know, some people die, and the interviewer says something along the lines of, I like it when that happens, and he goes... Wait till you see this next one. Everybody does.
And Don Cheadle's face.
Don Cheadle is like, dude, what are you doing?
I have to say, I watched it, and it's one of the hardest things to watch because he's melting down. Yeah. It's so weird.
But you think he's joking.
Yeah.
Like, if you.
He's trying to play it off. It's his worst performance.
Yeah, it is.
That's trying to hide the fact that he just gave away the ending of that movie.
But I we're not gonna get out of this next movie with everybody being alive. It's no coincidence that the people who are left are the ones whose like contracts are up.
Yeah,
and the ones who are signed to future deals are not gonna be in the start of this next movie at least.
Cap's gotta save Bucky one last time.
Have y'all read the theory that they're lovers?
Can they just go ahead and be? They might as well.
I mean, you put two men in a fandom type, you know, franchise.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, that's going to be a
theme. I know. Captain America's got two emotions. He misses his old girlfriend. And he loves Bucky. Like, those are his two.
That's pretty solid.
Agent Carter.
Yeah. Peggy.
Yeah, Peggy.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, God. That's a movie. So, where does this... I know it's fresh, but roughly, where does this rank in the MCU for you, John David?
I mean, I think it has to be in the top five.
Hmm.
I mean, it definitely is in the top five. I could... make the argument and believe myself that it's the best one because of its ambition and its success. All those people, I'm sorry, I think Thanos is a better villain than Killmonger. I do. He's so interesting to me. And the fact that they make him the main character of the movie,
yeah,
I do really like him as a villain. And I can't think of anyone that I like more than him as a Marvel villain. The difference between this one and some others is this isn't... Now, this is why I definitely want to see this in the theaters. I'm sure I will buy this movie. I don't see myself just, like, popping it in and just watching it.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't have necessarily a rewatchability of, like, Ragnarok or... I think Homecoming is, a very rewatchable movie.
Well, those are all an hour less than this one.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
Significantly shorter movies.
No, this is going to be a really good movie to skip scene, skip chapter, to go ahead and jump to Tony Stark and Doctor Strange or
that's
whatever.
That's kind of the cool thing about the movie is that it's kind of a series of like 10 to 15 minute like shorts.
Yep.
That's true.
I was afraid that like we would just be cutting to a different location every 5 minutes and right as a scene was getting good, we would cut away to, you know, Titan. That it didn't happen like with this. They kind of let everything play out and then they would go to the next location. Very smart choice by the Russos.
Yeah, I agree.
Colby, where do you think this falls?
I'm going to say right now. I'm going to say number two or number three for me because it gave me what it got right to it.
Yeah.
There's no BSing around.
It's relentless.
And I loved it. And that's I've sat through all of this backstory, and I'm just ready to see what it comes down to.
What about you, Zach?
I would say I think I have it right around five. The thing is, I don't think it's as good as Black Panther or Ragnarok, but the degree of difficulty is definitely a lot higher.
Yeah, that's me too. I probably like those movies as movies better than this movie.
Yeah, and I would even throw Homecoming and Guardians too in that grouping, but... I'm trying to remember. We ranked them on our last episode, and I think I had Winter Soldier 4 and Homecoming 5. I'll probably bump Homecoming out and put this at 5.
I think number 5 for me was Doctor Strange. This is going to fall somewhere in the list, and I love Doctor Strange, but bye. this is better than that to me.
Yeah, I'm... Doctor Strange is one of those I might never rewatch. Then again, I might. I don't know.
See, that one is very rewatchable to me. It's just cool.
Secretly, it is.
I mean, when he showed up in this movie, I'm like, I'm glad I got all the details I need to know, but I just want to see him do all that stuff now. I really don't care about him learning it anymore. But I get it. So, pretty good movie.
All right. Do we have anything else that we need to touch on with this film?
Okay, MVP of the movie.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
Brolin.
I'd probably have to say the same.
Yeah, it's a good choice. I think I'm going to go with a tie between Thor and Rocket Raccoon. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going Bradley Cooper. My God. He is so good at playing this character. It's unbelievable.
I would have no idea. I mean, no idea. It's Bradley Cooper.
It is a performance, unlike, most VO performances that we get.
Groot?
Yeah. I am Groot.
The thing, too, with Bradley Cooper, that someone was probably like, Bradley, if you're the voice of Rocket Raccoon, you can probably never, be a superhero. And he's like, no, that's the point.
He was like, I've already played Chris Kyle.
David O. Russell wouldn't let him do it.
I would say, probably it has to be Brolin. If anyone else... Maybe
maybe Cumberbatch. I mean, he's really good.
He is.
He's fun.
And he had good chemistry with the people they paired him with.
He did. Also, he knows how this whole thing ends already.
Yeah.
This is the future that he foresaw.
Yeah, so I've got a question about that. The future that he foresaw was, like, there was only one where they survived, and it was the one where Thanos got the Infinity Stone, and yeah. Tony is still alive.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just go ahead and hand him the Infinity Stone? Like,
because he had to have him think, and everyone think, probably, that this was all part of the plan.
Okay.
Also, superhero movie.
True. True.
Why didn't Thanos just double the resources instead of killing half the people?
Okay, so is that all we have to say on Infinity War?
I want to bring up one more thing.
Go ahead.
This movie ripped off Harry Potter.
A lot.
A lot.
A lot, a lot.
Yeah, a lot. It did.
I didn't tweet it because I waited to say it on this podcast. This wouldn't exist without Harry Potter 3.
Harry Potter and Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Empire Strikes Back in this to me.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of parent-child conflict.
A lot of red skulls. At least Tony Stark didn't scream no,
no
at the end of it.
Yeah.
When Peter disappears.
No, this does. The Harry Potter things with the Dementor. Even with Thanos in his little dream dimension,
mm-hmm.
with little child Gamora,
King's Cross,
yeah, King's Cross Station,
yep,
Infinity Stones equals Elder Wand.
I definitely agree. And
Deathly Hallows,
Deathly Hallows,
yeah. And
Resurrection Stone and the Soul Stone are the same thing, and that's how they're gonna bring Gamora back because that's the only character that any of them love.
I can only kind of hear what's happening. It actually sounds really creepy on my end.
Yeah.
It actually sounds like Colby is just speaking in parcel tongue.
He is.
Okay. That the one difference, there was no snake.
Thank God.
Or Zach leaves the boat forever.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank God.
Yeah.
Wakanda is Hogwarts.
I think at the end of the day, we all actually really liked this movie.
Mm-hmm.
We liked it more than we thought we would, for sure. And
yeah. More than a lot of people that I know liked it. I mean, I don't know anybody who flat out hated it, but the biggest like Marvel fans that I know are kind of...
Well, why do you think that is?
They killed off everybody. We're never going to get to see him again.
No, like, I mean, they obviously know it's coming back, but, like, my cousin, who Colby and I are in a group chat with, he was like, he thought it was okay, he thought it was fine. I was kind of stunned by that take. One of our fans, Matt, he did not love this movie like I thought he would, but it's not as divisive as, or should I say divisive, as as The Last Jedi. It's got a 84% from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes, but a 92.
Wait, this is an 84?
Yeah, from the critics. Mm-hmm.
That feels like a slap in the face.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's...
Anything that's not the highest rated movie ever.
It's 9 points lower than Homecoming. But on IMDb, this has a 9.0, and it currently ranks as the 10th highest rated movie of all time on IMDb. I expect it to fall, but...
Also insane.
Yeah.
All too much. Here's my last just takeaway with this movie. When you promise me a movie event, I want you to deliver, and it delivers.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's what sums it up. I like that.
Yeah. It felt like the season 7 of Game of Thrones for me, where it was kind of like, the story is kind of... Or the plot is less important to me than the set pieces and the
right.
stuff going on.
Well, it's that whole thing. We've been building to this. Mm-hmm. This is what we've known mm-hmm. has been coming, and we want to see it unfold.
For me, it did not disappoint.
Right.
Agreed 100%. All right.
Maybe one of those reasons is because we didn't have as much writing on this being good.
Yeah. Well, I don't think any of us went in, or I know I didn't. I think we talked about it. We didn't go in with the highest of expectations for this.
Nope. Didn't have great expectations for it.
I mean, you know, a lot of people
Charles Dickens.
Oh, wow, this is really good. I was like, yeah, you've said that about a lot of things.
All right, so do we want to go ahead and get into homework?
Aye.
John David?
Yes. Mine, I believe, was released today, so really good timing.
Ooh.
I had a very good, one of the best birthday presents of my life. Last year, when my wife bought me tickets to see my all-time favorite comedian, John Mulaney, live in ATL, and
you can't say that, John. You're not allowed. You're not Usher, or
so
Little John,
Little
John David.
Little JD.
No, I was about to say those exact words. I've never laughed. I was watching John Mulaney. I got to the point where my body just wouldn't laugh anymore because it's like, I hurt now. I hurt it. Stop there. It was the funniest thing I've just ever seen. And that special, which is called Kid Gorgeous, just got released on Netflix. I'm very, very happy about it. This is not safe for the whole family, okay?
I am surprised.
He's not dirty in the way of, like, some comics.
Dave Chappelle.
Louis C.K.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing in that realm. But he does the bit that this title comes from has to do with being an elementary school student going through a stranger danger seminar. And it's so good. So if you're a fan of stand-up, I genuinely believe John Mulaney is currently, I mean, he's obviously my favorite, but I also think he's one of the ones who's perfected the art form, like, so specifically, and he's at the top of his game, and this is fantastic.
Okay, so, question. Better than Comeback Kid and New in Town?
I don't know. It's also hard for me because I saw it live,
yeah.
So I'm not getting these jokes fresh.
Okay, so you saw this live.
I saw this set live.
Okay.
Obviously, there are some differences.
Right.
But I saw really this set live.
Okay.
This was the tour. And it's also hard because when I saw New in Town, that was my first experience with John Mulaney, and my brain exploded a little bit because it's like when you see that thing, you're like, oh, this is my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is the one that just connected with me that much. And that's how he was for me. So, I mean, I think it's as good. I think he does, and I've not finished watching all the way through this special because I was watching it before this happened because it was just released today. But at least live, he does this bit on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that, I mean, I think I actually fell out of my chair at one point. So it's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, he's like a comedian's comedian, right? I mean,
yes.
He's like the most, he's your favorite comedian's favorite comedian.
Yeah. Him and like Maria Bamford is probably my other favorite comedian. Yes. Anyway, highly recommend if you're a big fan of stand-up. Don't watch with the kids if you got a language thing. He's not pervasive with language, again, in the way some are, but I mean, it's there. Just know that if that is a thing. But yeah, highly recommend.
Okay.
Interesting. All right, I'll go ahead. So last week, Westworld came back, season 2,
woo-woo.
And I have not yet watched it. The week before it came back on, I attempted to do a rewatch of season 1. I got 3 episodes in and did what I always do now for some reason as of late. I started watching a half-hour comedy. And now I'm in season 3 of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so that is my homework. If you're looking for just something light, you know, Parks and Rec adjacent.
Okay.
It's fun. I'm a big Sandberg fan, and I like Terry Crews. It's just a fun, dumb, you know, 22-minute episode comedy. It's on Hulu. That's my homework.
So, I've seen episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but haven't started the series in earnest. But New Girl's almost over, and that's what the wife and I have...
Yeah.
We have stuck with New Girl the whole time.
So, have you been watching the newest episodes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what do you think? I've watched the newest one comes on tonight. I hadn't seen it yet, but I've seen the others.
Yeah, they're unnecessary, but I'm happy to be back with these characters. So I don't care.
I agree.
To me, an underrated show. Just because the characters are so funny.
They are. Who's your favorite character on there?
The more the show goes, the more it's Winston.
I agree.
He's so weird, and it's so good.
Yeah, he's like a character from a different show, so he stands out.
He does.
With these other characters. Like, the season one, everybody loves Schmidt. I can't stand Schmidt now. The shtick is done. I'm over Schmidt.
I'm still amused. He still makes me laugh.
I can see that. I started off, Kelso was my favorite 70s show character, but then it became Hyde pretty quickly. Because the shtick lost its luster.
Yeah. All right, Colby. Homework.
Well, the last two movies I watched were The Last Jedi and...
Infinity War?
Mm-mm. Justice League.
One of those is great.
Neither of those is great. So really the only thing I got is I did just finish the late Michelle McNamara's book, I'll Be Alone in the Dark, which is a true crime book.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a little confusing to read because it was assembled after her death.
Yes, this is Patton Oswalt's wife, right?
Yes, that's it. And it's
a Cimmerillion of biographies.
Yeah.
True crime.
And it's about the Golden State Killer, which is a term she dubbed, but it's really about this criminal who was like among the famous Californian serial killers back in the 70s and 80s, but I've never heard this story, and it is fascinating. The things this guy did, and they just caught him, so it's timely. I read it because I had it bought, and then it turns out about a week ago, it was on like Yahoo homepage, they caught the Golden State Killer through DNA, and I immediately read it. Yeah.
Huh.
So, but this book was published. They didn't know who did it. They just caught him. So, and this book came out in February this year.
Yeah.
So, it's a pretty good read if you like true crime. And HBO picked it up for a series, a docuseries.
Ooh.
So, look for that.
Hmm.
Watch the Jinx.
It's very weird that Patton Oswalt was married to that lady. Mm-hmm.
Have any of us watched Wild Wild Country yet?
Nope.
No. It's on the list.
It's on my list.
Have you called me?
I haven't watched anything in the last week. I've watched like 5 Nightmare on Elm Street movies and then all of Justice League and Last Jedi and Infinity War. So,
all right. Well, we are going to go and wrap this up today. You keep it classy, boat listeners. Well, I gotta say, the new Solo trailer looks like it might, you know, knock on wood, be decent. We'll see.
I mean, again, you're the one who said it, but early reviews are good.
Yeah.
I want it to be good.
Leaving my expectations. I've been wrong about every movie for the last, like, 6 months. I thought The Last Jedi was going to be my favorite thing, and it was not.
Yeah, me too. And then it wasn't. And then I thought this was going to be dumb, and then I loved
it. Yeah.
Hot take, Daniel Day-Lewis. Average. Overrated. Average.
Mediocre.
Sorry.
I know. Stand by your convictions, my friend.
For real.
I have never wavered from Dumb and Dumber.
I hope her name is Tully Tullivan.